It's time for Brother Larry's Sinner's Sunday. Oh yeah. You tell him, Larry. Brother Larry coming.
Hey, it's Father's Day, and we're taking a little break from Sinner's Sunday because this day is kind of a big deal for me, being a two-time dad myself. So Sinner's Sunday will return next week in its regular heretical format. Father's Day is a day of great meaning to me and dudes around the world who have taken on the single greatest job in the world. Well, job is not the word I'm looking for, nor is task or responsibility or obligation or duty, because all those words are only partially accurate. Being a father is the ultimate adventure anyone can have, fraught with chills and spills, immeasurable joy and glory, or sometimes not. It's kind of a crapshoot, really. But no matter what you roll, you may not leave the table for 18 or 21 years or ever, really. Because fatherhood is the only shot we ever get at immortality. Lots of crazy things happen on the way to becoming a father. For me, it was a near throwdown with the OBGYN, with the birth of my first kid right there in the delivery room with my wife in labor. It was insane. And I'll circle back to that story in a little bit. My name is on two parenting books. Not that that makes me an expert. I don't think anyone is ever an expert on fatherhood. There are just too many variables. My books were kind of a way for me to pass along some of what I learned to those just starting the journey. The first book was called I'll Never Have Sex With You Again. My wife wrote it with me, although she says I wrote it with her. Why did that book come about? Because there's all this manufactured terror that has arisen around childbirth. Endless websites and blogs and books and classes and doctor's appointments and on and on. And of course, you want to have a healthy baby, but women were giving birth with success, with little or no help from anybody long before there were OBGYNs or hospitals, weren't they? Knowing this, we created this book with loads of fantastic true birthing stories from rock stars and TV and movie stars to the guy next door. And the idea was to give expectant moms a break from all those annoying doomsayers. And it did. And where'd we get the title? Well, Irene had decided she was going to give birth au naturel without benefit of pain-killing epidurals. Her resolve crumbled when those contractions arced into the agony zone. And just before caving and asking for the drugs, she actually screamed at me, "I'll never have sex with you again." And I said, you know, that's a damn good title for a book. About a year after my first kid was born, the book was. A few years later, they asked me for a sequel, and thus Mac Daddy came about. Subtitle, Mastering Fatherhood Without Losing Your Style, Your Cool, or Your Mind. According to Hollywood, dads are never cool, are they? When a guy becomes a father, he automatically loses 50 IQ points, gains 50 pounds, and is metaphorically neutered. In movies and TV, dad is invariably an idiot, sits on his ass watching sports while mom is a sexy execu-chick and brings home the bacon as she cracks wise and basically single-parents the kids. And that's in the best of productions. More often than not, dad is a drunken, abusive villain with a restraining order on him. So Mac Daddy, as much as being a handbook for the early years of fatherhood, it was a rebuttal to Hollywood's portrayal of fathers. It became kind of a lightning rod. People either loved it or hated it, and that was fine with me. When I was in my early 20s, I feared fatherhood more than death. For me, it represented death. You know those guys you see schlumping around the mall, loaded down with more baby crap than some paratrooper? They always have the same look on their faces, right? Defeat, despair, confusion. How did I get here? I never wanted to be one of those guys. And I like to think that I never was. mostly because I really was ready and eager to be a dad by the time I became one. The thought that I would be tied to someone, someone who is at first utterly helpless and needy and dependent on me for survival, it just scared the shit out of me. The anchor, the responsibility, ooh. As time wore on, I started getting a clearer picture of the cycle of life. Realized there's a natural progression to everything, and whether you choose to acknowledge it or not, it does not care. You either hop aboard and take the ride, or stand on the sidelines and miss out on a lot. Women, of course, have a way better sense of this. Their biological clocks tick like kettle drums, I'd imagine. Fatherhood is so risky on so many levels. What if you're okay with making a baby, but you married too soon and discover your marriage was a bad idea? Now you're gonna handicap some kid from jump? Couples should probably wait 3 years before having kids and take a lot of road trips and share a limited amount of space. See how much continuous close exposure the relationship can handle. See if stress cracks start to form in the foundations, and if they do, call it off. Or at least cancel the kid portion of the program. We didn't know whether we'd be having a boy or a girl, which reminds me. There are now, what, 68 sexes? We never say gender here. Do they write them all with checkboxes on birth certificates? Has medical science caved to the new orthodoxy of PC culture? Do they make cigars that say, it's a boy, or it's a girl, or maybe it's a two-spirit intersex gender nonconforming? How do they fit all that on the cigar band? And what about the nurseries? Blue or pink was so easy. What now? Probably wallpapers, right? With some kind of gradient of colors like an oil slick. California and Washington now offer adults the option of having their birth certificates reissued to say non-binary. Why not say neutral or neither or TBD or just leave it blank? Let the kid decide when it is good and ready. And fuck DNA. What does it know anyway? Non-binary. Why a prefix, a hyphen, and three syllables? It's an awful lot. I'd like to have my birth certificate reissued to say, oh, not of this earth, or more powerful than a locomotive, or hung like a rhino. Let's just all decide who we are at any given moment and demand the world call us James Bond or Elvis Presley or Cochise or Napoleon. We can declare ourselves Batman or Magneto or Kick-Ass, and anyone who refuses to acknowledge the way we self-identify, we'll have them arrested for insensitivity. There was a writer and a radio guy I admired as a kid. His name was Gene Shepherd. He wrote that movie that still plays sometimes, A Christmas Story, you know, the one about the kid getting a BB gun for Christmas. I recall an essay Shepherd wrote about how people began to dress in the 60s and 70s, and it really was a kind of a precursor to where we are today. Shepherd noted that only after World War II, when there was unprecedented prosperity, did people begin to dress in costumes. And it's true. Pre-World War II, if somebody dressed like a cowboy, he was a cowboy. Motorcycle jackets were for bikers. Construction boots, jeans, and a flannel shirt meant a steelworker. Now, that outfit is for the Dean of Women's Studies. Guys that had never been on any water but the bathtub began wearing Greek fishermen's hats and scrimshaw pendants. Big game hunter was a look for a while, bush jackets and khakis. But PETA probably put a stop to that. Gene Shepherd's point was that there were suddenly all these people whose apparel was more of a costume than garments, a way for cubicle dwellers to project an image of macho outdoorsman or swashbuckling adventurer. Are people who wear costume-like outfits confused? Are they deceptive? Are they nuts? I like cowboy boots. They are perfect for horseback riding, which I sometimes do, but I don't think I'm a cowboy when I pull them on. Maybe some guys do, I don't know. Which brings me around to the birthing story I promised you earlier. What does a person's appearance and clothing say about them? When my wife was pregnant with her first, we had no idea if it was a boy or girl. We wanted to be surprised. We tried to do everything right and take every precaution. And a pal of mine turned us on to this obstetrician who was legendary, the OBGYN to the stars, and that was no bullshit. The walls of his office were lined with 8x10s of every female TV and movie star from several decades. And the guy was fantastic, everything you could possibly desire in a doctor. Cautious, degrees out the wazoo, erudite, serious, empathetic, a fantastic listener. I can think of few guys I ever met in any profession who I trusted like him. He really was the best. So my wife wakes me up one night around 2 or 3 a.m. and tells me it's time. But there was no panic. She had a pretty good idea of how far along she was. She took a shower, put some clothes in a bag, and we had a leisurely drive to the hospital. First, they stick you in sort of an emergency room, or maybe that's what it was. And then they move you into an actual delivery room, which was unlike anything I had imagined. No harsh lighting or stainless steel or white tile, no. There were recessed halogens on dimmers and a big barca lounger next to the delivery bed table gurney thing. The place had a vibe more like some cozy tasting room than a hospital. Everyone was low-key and relaxed until a doctor showed up. He looked like Eddie Van Halen, complete with rock and roll hair and a pack of Lucky Strikes rolled up in his t-shirt sleeve. He's chewing a wad of bubble gum and slaps his hands together and says to my wife, direct quote,
"Okay, having this kid is going to be as easy as taking a shit."
My jaw drops. I ask him where Dr. So-and-so is, the one we'd seen many times and was supposed to be here right now. And Doc Rocker tells me he's on vacation in the Greek islands. Oh, shit. He looked, spoke, and smelled more like some orderly than a doctor. I asked the labor nurse if he was who he claimed to be. She confirmed that he was, with one of the biggest eye rolls I'd ever seen. Not good. Pretty soon, my wife abandons the natural childbirth idea and requests an epidural. That was the only time through the whole event I felt worried. Some guy came in with a tray of horse needles and jabbed one into the base of her spine. It was so big it looked like a prop from some comedic movie. Dr. Van Halen popped in and out every hour or so, still chomping his bazooka gum. I recall thinking about the brand's logo with the one-eyed kid, Bazooka Joe, and wondering now, how did Joe ever lose that eye? I thought about his buddy, Mort, who always wore a turtleneck rolled up to his nose. And then Doc Rocker interrupts me and asks if it's going to be a boy or a girl. I tell him, I don't know. And he says, well, if he's got a stem, I'm going to circumcise him, okay? That's a hot-button word for me. I had researched the subject thoroughly and was fiercely opposed to it. I'm not going to go into all the extremely valid reasons why, but the most powerful convincer had been my close friend Buster, who had recently had a son. Now, Buster had been a top-ranked heavyweight. No, it was not Buster Douglas. And he was one of the toughest dudes I ever knew. Balls of steel, hit like a freight train, and impervious to pain. And after watching his own kid circumcised, where they lashed the baby's hands and ankles to a table like Frankenstein, as his baby screamed in pain, Buster made me swear I would never have that done to my kid. I looked at Doc Rocker and said, if it's a boy, you are not cutting his dick. Well, he went off like a magpie with a slew of stats and studies and blah, blah, blah. And when he finished, he again didn't really ask me. He just kind of stated, so I'm going to circumcise him. And now I'm getting bugged. I ask him if he's hearing impaired. And he goes right back on the offensive with his opinions as a medical professional. I knew what he was after, an additional fee. And I didn't give a shit about that. And I tell him again with greater volume that he's not cutting my son's dick. That's when my wife gives a mighty gasp. Doc Rocker turns around and gets busy, and in a few moments he says, "Moot point, it's a girl." I see my daughter. The room is eerily silent. I'm expecting cries from the baby. As Doc Rock lifts it and puts it on my wife's chest, my daughter just lets out a small squeak,
eh,
as if no big deal. And me, I'm crying, because this is truly the greatest moment of my life. And I could not even begin to explain, because I don't know myself, but instantly I would have taken a bullet or donated both kidneys and eyes and lungs to that baby. And I am not unique. That's the way most of the dads I know feel. Not at all like the Hollywood versions these twisted pencil-neck writers seem to focus on. Doc Rocker hands me a pair of scissors and asks if I want to cut the cord. I hadn't really looked at it, and I was astonished at its girth. I had imagined something like twine. This was like a pumpkin stem. It took a lot of cutting to get through it. A few years later, I got to do it all over again with my second daughter. That time, the correct doctor showed up. I've had more eventful visits to the dentist. It was a breeze for my wife. I get a lot of emails from guys and even a few from the ladies with questions about having kids. The most common question is, should we? And the answer is, if you have a solid marriage and you want one, yes, do it. It's the closest any of us gets to divinity in this life. Pure creation. Nothing compares, nothing. And if you do a decent job and your kids turn out okay, you'll have somebody to wipe the drool off your chin when you're a geezer sitting on the front porch. Happy Father's Day, everybody. Don't forget to give the old man a hug and a kiss and tell him you love him today and every day. He is not immortal. Thanks for hanging with me once again. Come back and hang with us this Tuesday when we celebrate the 100th episode, which has actually been this episode, but that's just the way we roll around here. Everybody will be showing up. Old friends, new friends, senseis, and many of the core crew from The Dick Show, including Keon, Asterios, Nick the Knife, Sean, and Dick himself. What will they say and do? Don't miss it at thatlarryshow.com. And if you like what you heard, why not join the dojo and help us keep the lights on? patreon.com/thatlarryshow. And I will see you Tuesday.